Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
St. Xavier University is for students who want more out of their future. We pride ourselves on preparing graduates with the skills they need to succeed in life. Visit xxu.edu to start plotting your path to a brighter tomorrow. St. Xavier University, the best in you.
Welcome to the Under Center podcast presented by St. Xavier University. Always fortunate enough to be joined by our Bears insider, Josh Schrock. Follow him at Schrock_and_all. And our Bears beat reporter, Alex Shapiro. Follow him at Alex Shapiro NBCS. The show is produced by Tony and Claire. Now, we're going to talk some playoffs. We'll give you a little bit of Bears update at the end and hit you with, you know, some points bets that we've been doing for the Super Bowl. But let's start off chronologically. And it's funny, we're going to do it chronologically because it kind of goes from most important, from least important to most important in a way, from games that we kind of predicted, if you kind of look at some of the points bet stuff that we talked about. So look, Alex had the Jags. The Jags almost pulled it off, especially when you cripple baby goat. Things
I wasn't planning on that. Let the record show I was not planning on that. That's not why I thought the game might be close.
We're talking about Kansas City. I mean, the Jaguars versus Kansas City in Arrowhead. The Jags lose 20-27, I should say. Patrick Mahomes hurt in the first half, taken out of the game. A high ankle sprain, we come to find out right now. Listen, watching that game, I was upset. If you know anything about me and Patrick Mahomes, I was highly upset. I looked after and I say, they did it again. They're not going to win the Super Bowl now. It's always something, right? Because it's always like he's going to win the MVP. Patrick Mahomes, but it's always something that hurts them or that team or even another team, because we've talked, and Josh, you can talk about this. We've talked all year about the cream of the AFC not making it to the top, right? It was like, okay, whoever you think, but don't think these two teams, and the two teams initially really a lot of people were talking about were the Bills and Kansas City, right? Those are the two teams. And we nailed the Bills, baby. We'll get to that.
We had them to the wall.
We nailed the Bills, baby. We and Josh talked about it at the night after our first hosted football night in Chicago. When we at the end of it, we were talking about, we'll get into that. But let's talk about the Chiefs and the Jags. Start with you, Josh. Your thoughts on the game. What did you think when Patrick Mahomes was injured? What did you think about Jaguars' comeback and the performance by Jags QB Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Jags should have won the game. I thought it's kind of like in basketball when someone like a star gets in foul trouble and a team doesn't take advantage. When Chad Henne's in there, like, you can't be outscored. You can't have a 98-yard drive. You can't, like, when Patrick Mahomes is in the locker room in the medical tent, if he's not on the field, you got to take advantage. I mean, we know the Jags left a lot of points on the board, right? Fumbled the 4-yard line. Drive stalled out. I didn't think they went to the quarterback run game early enough. I think Trevor Lawrence is so dynamic with his legs. They didn't really pull that out until the second half. And the way Chris Jones was just eating up the Jags interior offensive line, I thought they could have pulled that out earlier. But I think my main takeaway is that Patrick Mahomes on two legs is incredible. Patrick Mahomes on one leg is still the best quarterback in football, right? He couldn't even move, and the guy is just absolutely just dicing him up. From the Jags standpoint, man, I know Travis Kelce is incredible. You cannot let Travis Kelce catch whatever 13, 14 balls, man. I would just glue three people to him and been like, hey man, if Sky Moore and Marquez Valdes-Scantling beat us, we'll go home. Yeah, it is what it is. But Travis Kelce, just, you cannot let him eat you like that. But yeah, my two takeaways are the Jags kind of blew it, and Patrick Mahomes on one leg is still just, the dude is unreal, man. The dude is unreal.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to piggyback, my goodness, is it fun to watch Travis Kelce. I mean, that guy might secretly be my favorite player to watch in the NFL. He is so good. He's so dominant. And what a joy. What a joy. He and Patrick Mahomes, man. I hope we get to watch Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes play for another 10 years together. In terms of the Chad Henne thing,
any love for the QB's coach in Kansas City for getting Chad Henne to go on that 98-yard drive?
No, he threw for 23. No. He threw for 23 yards. Absolutely not.
Okay, yeah.
Don't give
probably,
him,
probably,
don't
probably
give,
not. Don't, yeah. don't, no love. You're right.
He's five to seven.
Yeah.
Don't give him that. No.
He scored a touchdown. No, he scored a TD. He got the TD pass in there.
Yeah.
My main takeaway is, man, I hope Patrick Mahomes is okay, because like we said, they're just fun to watch. And I forget who said it. It might have been Tony Romo or somebody else. I forget who said it over the – he was either during the game or afterwards saying the high ankle sprain, it's good for that game because he could probably play on it. It was Romo.
Yeah. And the adrenaline allows you to play that day on it.
Right. Yep. But then it's going to stiffen up, and now we'll see for the AFC Championship game. So that's going to be something worth monitoring. And, man, it would just be such a shame if we don't get that Patrick Mahomes-Joe Burrow rematch, because – now we have the Patrick Mahomes, and I know I'm kind of skipping ahead to the Bengals, but how great is this rematch going to be of last year's AFC Championship game that was, you know, so much fun? Bengals, big time upset. Nobody saw them coming.
Wait, we got to keep the segment. We got to keep it within segment.
Okay.
Alex, got to keep it within segment.
Okay.
Already off the rails.
I'll just
5 minutes.
I know.
Already off the rails. He's like,
trying so hard.
It was, you can tease it and taste it, but just don't start eating the porridge.
Okay.
Don't start
I'm just a little hors d'oeuvre. Just a little hors d'oeuvre. That AFC Championship game rematch could be really fun.
Look, real quick, Travis Kelce, as you said, Josh, 14 receptions, 98 yards, two TDs. Patrick Mahomes on an injured high ankle sprain, 22 of 30, 195. Two TDs for 112 was his QB rating. Just to give you Trevor Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence was 24-39. Well, that's a lot of attempts. For 217, one TD, one interception, a QB rating of 74. Look, when they put him back in, so I'm in my mind, I'm like, dude, you guys have to try to pull this off without him. I'm being honest, right? Because I'm like, you got to save him for anything he has left. You can't re-injure or make it worse. When he first came back in, and he sat there and he ran like off tackle, off guard. I believe it was off guard. Yeah. And he took a hop. I said, oh my. And you couldn't see the hop from the angle of the TV, but you can see that he hopped because of how his body moved. And I was like, oh my goodness, he is really hurt out here. And he's running on that bad ankle in Patrick Mahomes. I mean, what a gutsy performance from a young player who we already view as one of the best. Tom Brady's the go. I play when I say baby go because he has the potential to one day be go if he gets enough titles. He has to win a lot of titles to threaten Tom Brady in that. Let me just say that for all the Tom Brady lovers out there. But, I mean, that game just speaks volumes about Kansas City, a team that lost perhaps their second best weapon. And, okay, Travis Kelce is their best weapon outside of Patrick Mahomes, but the table was set off of what Tyreek Hill did to defenses. Yep. Right. And vertically stretching. But the crazy thing is it became, and I know people will be like, hit me in the comments. It became a hindrance because it was too much of a hack, to be honest with you. And when teams started basically playing back and saying, look, we're going to put more guys with more DBs back here. We're going to be nickel, dime, whatever. But we're not going to let him just run through the zone as easily as he's been running through the zone, basically. And he went to a team, and everyone looked at Kansas City this year as well. This is a year where they have to relearn what they're necessarily doing or reinvent themselves, and they didn't think the reinvention was going to allow them to be the best team in the AFC record-wise. And for them to pull that off, it just says a lot about that. I hope they win more titles to really submit what they've done there with getting to the AFC Championship game as many times as they have during Patrick Mahomes' tenure there. But, man, that's just a well-run organization. I hope Ryan Poles can bring some of that to Chicago. All right, for real. To bring it to the Bears, since this is the Under Center podcast, a Bears-driven podcast, I would pray that we could get something as far as structurally-wise, the sound, the young guys they bring in. Yes, the defense needs to be better, but when you're paying the QB a half billy, all right, you're going to run. Travis Kelce has to get his bread too. You know what I'm saying? You got what Jones, for one of those guys makes it. You know what I'm saying? Jones is getting, Chris Jones is getting paid. You know what I'm saying? So you can only pay so many people. And again, as you said, Josh, that they should have figured out the Jags. But it was, you know what? It's good, though, because you worried about a team, and it seemed like that in the first half, like the Jags, who some people say they didn't deserve to get there in a way, as far as how the season initially started, but you look at how they finished it, and you a young quarterback in a team that hasn't been there in some years to get there and to threaten the odds-on favorite in the manner that they did talks about the growth that they've had with their with Doug Peterson taking over that organization after Urban Meyer messed it all up and messed up the rookie season of Trevor Lawrence. And it just tells you, it's again, you hope the Bears can do that with a young quarterback in his second year with his new coach, even though it's the first year with Doug Peterson. But that's all I had to say about that. And anything else you guys have to say about this game before we move on?
Well, it's interesting just going back to you talking about, you know, relating it to Ryan Poles and the Bears, right? And what can Ryan Poles glean? What can he teach the Bears from his time with the Chiefs? I'm going to take it back to his end of the year press conference. And I think it's a moment where kind of all of us rolled our eyes at Ryan Poles and the Chiefs are proving us wrong. It was when somebody asked, I believe it was Herb Howard, friend of the pod, Herb Howard asked, yo, do you guys need a wide receiver one? And is that something like you really got to go out and get? And Ryan Poles said, yeah, having a wide receiver one is great, but if not, we can win with a collection of guys. We can win with a room and a great tight end. And everybody's like, yeah, I don't know about that. Might be better if you guys just got a wide receiver one. Meanwhile, look at what the Kansas City Chiefs just did. Tyreek Hill leaves. Everybody says, oh, the Chiefs aren't going to be the same without Tyreek Hill, one of the most explosive players in the NFL. They have been just fine without him. Now, it helps that they have Travis Kelce, who is the best tight end in football, right? They have Travis Kelce, but otherwise, it's just a group of guys. It's Juju Smith-Schuster. It's Sky Moore. It's Marquez Valdez-Scantling. You know, they're
it's
really
Patrick
doing
it. Mahomes.
Yeah, I was going to say, the two things that make
Andy
that
Reed
go
and Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
Yes. No, of course. Right. Of course, the quarterback matters. And with any NFL team, you have to have the quarterback right to win. That's a given. That's like, I'm saying you have to have the quarterback figured out if you want any chance, really, of having sustained success. So if we imagine that Justin Fields is the guy, the wide receiver one versus a group of guys conversation, the Chiefs are really doing it with a group of guys and Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I still think you need it. I mean, I think Patrick Mahomes might be the only guy who doesn't need a wide receiver one. Like, I just do. And Travis Kelce's basically a wide receiver one. He's like the second best tight end in NFL history. Like, it's not like, I mean, I like Cole Kmet, but like if Cole Kmet was in Travis Kelce's spot, I don't think the Chiefs are humming like that. They're still humming because Patrick Mahomes is legit. But I mean, even look at Josh Allen before Stephon Diggs got there. He was meh.
Yep. I mean, I think it's crazy that you say that because I want to name some guys. But look at Aaron Rodgers this year without Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Look at after Gronk retired with the Patriots and you brought in N'Keal Harry hoping in his rookie season that he was going to be able to be something special enough to help Tom Brady, and how Tom Brady was like, this isn't enough. They got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin down there at Tampa Bay.
Tom Brady has won with James. Tom Brady has won Super Bowls without like that.
The greatest quarterback in history. Right. Correct.
True. Correct. You usually, even if he's not the guy, he needs to be a guy on the list with the guys. We could maybe take him down to number 10 on the list, but usually you kind of need someone who's a threat, unless you're a great running team. And how many times now in the new NFL is it really that great running teams without a pass outside of, listen, and again, we'll get to the 49ers, you know, say, oh, the sexiness. Oh, sexiness. We'll get to that. But yeah, that's it right now. Unless anybody else has something to add about Kansas City and the Jags, anything, nothing else. All right.
Jags are coming.
Yeah. Jags are coming. Jags
Calvin Ridley parachuting in, as long as he ain't gambling on things.
What did Alex say? We got to get the tags. What did you say about when we're gambling? Like, yeah, we're
the tickets.
Yeah. As long as he's not getting the tickets.
Yeah.
So.
No,
just delete and lock FanDuel and DraftKings and points bet, especially points bet off of his phone.
Real quick. Let's just end it with that speculation. All right, as far as with Calvin Ridley. And the reason I want to do that, you look at a similar receiver in a way in Christian Kirk. And would you say perhaps they need a different type of receiver? And the only reason I'm saying this is this NFL, the catch radius guy, is I still want one to go with a guy that's a quick guy. But because you can't jam as much and you can't put your hands on guys as much, it allows smaller receivers like a Tyreek Hill, even though Tyreek Hill has cheetah speed, it allows them to do more in this NFL than guys could perhaps do in the past. So I just looking at Calvin Ridley being similar to Christian Kirk, what do you think that could still be a move, Josh, that you could look at the Jags doing as far as acquiring Calvin Ridley from?
Oh, they already did it.
Oh, he's already, really?
At the trade deadline. He's just sitting out because he's suspended for the year. He's on the team.
I totally forgot about it.
Yeah, so, he's coming. It don't matter. He's coming. Yeah,
I totally.
Me too. I also spaced.
He's your wide receiver one.
I can't even.
Yeah.
Damn. See, that makes me mad at Ryan Poles right there with that BS. Because
second round pick.
I didn't think Christian Kirk was going to be as good as he was.
He played well, man. He played. He was good. He was.
We all dumped on that contract. We all dumped on that contract.
Everyone in the net. It tells you more about Kyler Murray too. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like you had this guy and other guys. Let's go. But I didn't think he was going to be that good. And then you add in Cat. Like this is no. The Bears need. You don't have to have the number one, but you need like a group of number twos.
Yes.
At least.
Yes.
To go with
good twos. Good twos. Yeah. And a good tight end.
If you fill your room with something like that, then you know perhaps you can.
All right. It goes back to our previous discussion again. It's a group of twos. It's a group of twos with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Are we saying Christian Kirk's a one?
Yeah.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Calvin Ridley's a one.
You think Calvin Ridley's a one?
I don't know if I think he teeters on a one, but we haven't seen him do it without Julio. Like he had like a half a season to kind of because he Julio was getting a lot of attention on the other side with Calvin Ridley. So that's the only way I have to see it more. But the thing is too, it doesn't matter as much with the threat that they have in both of them on opposite sides. Because now it's choose your poison, basically. And that's not to mention whoever's still going to be there, if Marvin Jones comes back or whoever else they have on that team. So it's one of those things. All right, enough of the Jaguar talk. We're not here for Jags talk. This is Bears talk, but we're talking about the divisional playoffs that took place this weekend in the NFL. All right. Moving on, man, in this one. Oh, this one was so good. Again, Josh, we talked about this when you hosted Football Night in Chicago last week, and I was a guest. The Daniel Jones, all right, extravaganza. He threw 300 yards and rushed for 70, and all of a sudden he was unlocked, right? Then it was going to come crashing down. And we're talking about the Giants versus the Eagles at the link. They lost 7-38. All right, the Eagles, it was 38-7, I should say. The Eagles whooped on that fanny. I thought about Miles Sanders watching it. All right, they whooped on that backside. So, dude, oh my, right? Yeah. And we talked about in the past, you know, the things that could hurt the Eagles was Jalen Hurts is in the pros, has never been hunted and been here. It wasn't a problem. It wasn't really an issue. On a team that these teams weren't evenly matched.
No.
Talent-wise.
No.
They're not at the same position. Giants had a good year coming from where Brian Daboll coming in, what he did with Baron Cupboards. They still don't have receivers. Let's be honest with that. You know what I'm saying? Hodges is it, but they don't have receivers. It'll be interesting to look at what they do to try to help around Daniel Jones and Saquon if they bring both, if not both back. But man, it was just the power this weekend, and we'll get to the 49ers Cowboys. The power, old school football. I'm gonna bang you in your mouth, and how are you gonna react? And I mean this from running, but also being on the line. It was so fun to watch some of these games and watch teams use common effing sense, because that's the thing that makes you so mad with football sometimes. And we'll get to the Bills. But with common sense, all right, with what the Eagles did to the Giants. Alex, let's start off with you with your thoughts on Eagles-Giants and the Eagles just smoking the Giants in the gym. Yeah.
I mean, I was expecting more from Jalen Hurts, but the Eagles didn't even need to use him. They just ran the ball so effectively. It's like, why should we even throw the ball? Between Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell, you know, they did really whatever they wanted. They controlled the line of scrimmage throughout. So Jalen Hurts didn't even really need to be unleashed. So I'm still waiting. Now I'm waiting to see Jalen Hurts unleashed next week, which will be fun. And the other thing, you know, I know the NFL expanded to 7 playoff teams, but I'm starting to wonder, like,
instead of seven playoff teams in the NFC, should the NFC give more seeds to the AFC? Because
you want to watch Patriots?
Sure. More than the Giants getting like knocked out. Did the Giants deserve?
They won a game.
Against the fraudulent Vikings, you know?
There were your Vikings!
We just had frauds playing each other. We just needed to fast forward to the two real teams in the NFC, and now we finally made it to the two real teams in the NFC. Let me ask you real quick.
So let's just say the Bears next year was the seventh team. You would hope that we would cede that to the AFC and the Bears wouldn't have a chance to just get in the playoffs?
We'll see. If it's like that Bears playoff team in 2020, then yeah, they don't deserve to be there. You know, the Bears didn't deserve that playoff berth in 2020. It was one of the worst playoff games I've ever seen, but they scored their like first touchdown on the last play of the game. It was a total snooze fest. And they were exposed for what they were, which was, yeah, not a playoff team, even though they were a playoff team. So yeah, the Seahawks weren't a playoff team. Giants weren't a playoff team. I'm sorry. Let more AFC teams play. I'm just excited that now we get to watch the Eagles play a legit game. Because it was non-competitive. It was a non-competitive football game.
It was fun, though.
I mean, sure, maybe it's fun if you're an Eagles fan to watch, but in terms of football game, it's boring.
Real quick, Jalen Hurts, 16 to 24, 154 yards, two TDs, a QB rating of 112. I'll say it was fun because, one, it's nothing like New York hype, right? It's nothing like seeing like how they get so amped up, and it's not the Yankees as far as, you know, like things that are impenetrable where usually the old Yankees, not the Yankees of really the last decade for the most sense. But still, to look at the Daniel Jones hype, but it was also good because it was an Eagles team that needed to get his stuff together in a way where they kind of stumbled. Their QB was hurt.
Hadn't played well in like a month.
Right. Hadn't played well. That fumble where he was trying to throw the ball and his arm got hit, and you think about your shoulder is messed up, right? And you're going through, and I'm just thinking about the pain, and people, if they're still saying it hurts to the touch. So to still see him come in and stabilize that roster and what they did offensively and just defensively, just they're, and I don't mean this in a negative sense, it's like they're animals. Hide the women and children, they're coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing where it's just like, where, dude? It's not, especially against a team like the Giants and the first, it's not a rebuild as far as what they're keeping, but it's still a new regime. But so that to me was what made it fun for me to see what the Eagles did to the Giants. I'm with you. I wouldn't recede because I hate when people say that about the NFL. And real quick, just looking at Daniel Jones, 15 to 27, 135 yards, no TDs, one interception, and the QB rating at 53. But your thoughts, Josh, since I jumped in there.
My thoughts. A couple things on the Giants. I think it became pretty clear to me. A lot of my friends gamble, and a lot of them are bad at gambling, and all of them were on the Giants. And I was like, okay, the Giants are toast. Like, they're just not. This ain't about to happen. And Brian Daboll, you could tell that they went for it. Like, they go down 7-0, 4th and 8. He goes for it. You could tell he was like, man, we're not stopping them. Like, I mean, he knows his linebackers are bad. I mean, as good as Dexter Lawrence was, they weren't getting a push. The Giants thing, it's a good story, right? I thought Brian Daboll made chicken soup out of you know what. I mean, the Giants, they had nothing, right? Isaiah Hodgins wasn't even on an NFL team 6 weeks ago. He was not even on an NFL team, and he's their number one receiver. So the Daniel Jones hype I thought was funny. Just shows you how bad the Vikings defense is, right? He just absolutely diced up the Vikings on simple crossing routes, and the Vikings secondary, which was 31st in the NFL, was 31st in the NFL. From the Eagles standpoint, I mean, it's the same thing they did to the Giants 6 weeks ago when they were really humming. They just crammed it down their throat. I thought the interesting thing was Jalen Hurts running the ball was just, he kind of jogged. He slid early a lot of times. And I think the 49ers are going to pinpoint that, and they're going to say, we're going to hit him. We're going to hit him a lot. We're going to hit him early because he just didn't seem comfortable. He was not the same kind of runner, right, that he was pre-shoulder injury. I think the throwing looks fine. The throwing, he looks totally fine doing it. I think it's more just like when you get into those, like, can you get a 6 yards on the ground? You need to run someone over.
He should have, though. He should have, though. This
I agree with that. I'm just saying going forward, that's something the 49ers will certainly look at and say, hey, we're just going to put licks on him. I mean, they didn't need Jalen Hurts to run the ball. The game was over 8 minutes in. I turned it off. I wouldn't watch the menu. But the second Daniel Jones threw the pick, I was like, yeah, we're done here.
But see, so this is an argument we've had, YouTube versus me.
What I do?
And this is about fourth. Yeah, this is about fourth. And I'm going to tell you, this was an issue. It was too early to do it. The score tells us it was. Let me finish.
All right.
It was the field position. Like they do that first half, they basically told the Eagles, you can start off on the 50 or on our 40 something every series, and they're too good for you to do that. You have to try to give them 80 to 90 yards to see if your defense can at least make them give you a field goal. Like they're too good for you to do that. You can't score with them. Don't try to score. Make this a long and arduous situation. All right, you can't play with them. Don't try to play with them. You have to make this 1,000 cuts, Josh. 1,000 cuts.
I would say I think where the Giants first messed up was deferring. You're not a good enough team to say we're going to defer and play in the second half. They should have took the ball and tried to drain 7 minutes out of the clock right off the bat and tried to do anything. And then at least you're still in the game. Because I think when the Eagles went right down the field, Daboll knew. He was like, man, it doesn't matter. Like, we need seven. Like, punting is not going to work. Three is not going to work. We need seven. Like, he knew they weren't going to hold them under 30. It doesn't matter. I think Brian Daboll was very well aware that he was a Schitt's Creek.
But I don't think any coaching decision Brian Daboll made would have made any difference in the outcome.
It's not the difference in the outcome. It's a difference in trying to slow them down is what I'm trying to say. And again, I'm not saying it would have happened, but no, you have better odds if they're starting.
Oh, yeah. If they go 90, sure. But you would rather you need the seven.
You can try to get the seven in the other three quarters. All right.
When you're down 28-0.
Hey, I'm just saying, it's too early to be like, all right, it's gone. Like, I'm done. I'm out of here. But that's just my opinion. All right. We differ. You guys are the experts. I'm just the fan on here that gets to host the show. All right.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's get on to the next one.
This one right here. Tasty.
They are who we thought they were.
Yeah, this one I'll take an L. This one, I'm just going to come out and own it. I'm going to take the big L.
They are who we thought they were. Yeah. Alex the other day was like, why didn't none of us take the Bills? I was like, I'll tell you why none of us took the Bills.
I was riding high on Buffalo Bills Nation, and I was Kenneth set us up. Again, I'm trying to have my main course before we've had our appetizers. I'm just getting off track. I can't keep getting ahead of myself. Kenneth, bring us here.
Bengals going to Buffalo. Listen, on a good note, DeMar Hamlin was in the building. Awesome. He stood up. The fans saw him. Everyone appreciated. The Bengals beat the Bills in Buffalo 27-10. Listen, we talked.
Whooped them.
Oh, it was hard. It was so hard. So you have Mr. Cool. Producer Claire loves him. We all do. Joe Burrow, 23-36, 242, two TDs. QB rating of 101. Josh Allen in defeat, 25 of 42, 265 as far as yards, no TDs, one interception. Listen, when we did our points bet situation, as far as teams to look as who you're going to take,
Bengals.
Josh and myself took the Bengals because it was clear as day.
Nah.
That, and this is a problem. Josh, I said this to you on Football Night in Chicago. Stop trying to always use Josh Allen like Superman and run the damn ball. Yeah. They said 2.5 years ago they were going to start committing to the run. They still haven't committed to the damn run.
They can't run the ball.
Yeah, but you know, let me say this too, and this is some Bears stuff.
Except against the Bears. They run against the Bears.
This is some Bears stuff. I need to know, one, who their offensive line coach is, but it's not his fault, all right? Mm-hmm. This still goes to Ken Dorsey, all right, as far as the philosophy and putting in those offensive linemen. We're getting off the ball rugged and going off. Because when you keep – we're backing up. We're backing up. We're backing up. And when you need to smack somebody in their face, your guys haven't gotten ritually into smacking people in their damn face. And you need to take time off the damn clock and keep that man in the Jaguar-printed suit off the damn field. All right? And they keep doing – this is my last point before you jump in, Josh. I said this to you. Mm-hmm. There's gonna be a Dan Marino in this situation. All right? And I'm not saying it marking Josh Allen with it all the way.
No, we're close because his paycheck's about to be massively
then,
bigger.
Then what? Think about what he's about to get paid, right? Oh. And Buffalo, of course, he's not going, but still. But when I mean Dan Marino, I'm talking about someone who is physically gifted. And Dan Marino, at least in his rookie year or his second year, made it to the Super Bowl, right?
Lost to the
49ers. And you haven't seen that in Allen. I'm talking about all these great quarterbacks in the AFC. One of them isn't going to get as many bites at the apple. And this could be a situation where these couple of years were Buffalo's time to break through to get that bite of the apple as far as in the Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl, because you're not Joe Burrow, where your Super Bowl window is the length of your career. I'm sorry. Go ahead, guys.
I think we entered the season right. Everyone was – the Bills were the favorite in the AFC. They're going to win the Super Bowl. And I think watching the Bills now, this is 3 years in a row where they've come up short and not made the Super Bowl. They have built the wrong kind of team. They are a team that plays outside, and they have built a team based on speed and not on physicality. And when it's cold and it's snowing – they had no answer, right? The Bengals just punched them in the mouth over and over and over again. And the Bills' only answer, it's 3rd and 2. And Josh Allen's like, I'll take a shot play. We're going to throw it 40 yards downfield to Gabe Davis. It's like, dude, just use your legs. Josh Allen should have run the ball 20 times himself that game. Yep. And the Bills, they're not built. They don't have that cold weather physicality in them. They're like, it's like they built the team to play in a dome. And when it comes time to play in the cold and play in the elements, it doesn't work. Well, Stephon Diggs had like 4 catches. Like I feel like they just built the wrong kind of team. They don't run the football. They don't even try it. They asked Josh Allen to do too much. And Josh Allen, for as talented as he is, he's not on Joe Burrow's level. He's not on Patrick Mahomes' level. He's not that dude. He's insanely talented. He could throw the football through a brick wall. He can make some, like the throw he made to Gabe Davis on the sideline was like, oh my God, how did he even put the ball there? But when it's, right. When it comes to – and you can say last year I know that defense gave up a field goal in 13 seconds, and that is absolutely not on Josh Allen as someone who defends Justin Herbert for the defense being bad.
I'd like to say you just
– I have the same opinion, but I think that you were right, Ken. In an AFC that is loaded now with Mahomes and Burrow and Allen and Herbert and Trevor Lawrence and all these dudes, Lamar Jackson – Josh Allen's just not on that level. And maybe it comes out that his ulnar nerve is like shredded and he like, that's why he's sailing balls. And maybe that's what happened. But I think from a bigger picture level, I think the Bills just built the wrong kind of team for what they need. Like if you're trying to get the number one seed in Buffalo to play games in January in Buffalo, you can't build a speed team because eventually that's going to come back to bite you.
I'm like halfway there with you, Josh. I am not sold that Josh Allen is not a top five dude, not a that guy. I think he can be that dude. Some of those throws.
He's a top five dude. The thing is that dude is like one or two people. That's not an exclusive club. Like Josh Allen's a top four quarterback, of course. He's just like, when it comes to winning, he's not like a guy where you're like, cool, he'll get it done. Like Joe Burrow, I have no doubt he's going
to
get it done.
Okay. So to that point, I'm still not – I still believe that he can be that guy. But I also agree that – they weren't doing the right things. That game screamed to me, Devin Singletary, big day. I thought it was going to be Devin Singletary, big day. And they just like barely even looked his way. You know, there were a few ineffective runs. And then once they kind of ran the ball for 3 yards a few times, they're like, well, obviously we just can't run the ball today. That's not going to happen. So we're going to air it out. Some of the throws were head scratching. Like, ooh, we normally see Josh Allen nail that deep ball or hit that guy who's wide open, and it wasn't there. And that was a little bit concerning, but just that one performance alone, I'm not going to say like, he's not the Superman that the Bills think he is. But I agree. It was head scratching, you know, look at what the Bengals did. They went to Joe Mixon, and Joe Mixon, I thought, in my opinion, really led that charge. And then Joe Burrow, when he needed to be the guy, when he needed to make the play, he did it. Right. He got it done. They put everything, in my opinion, on Josh Allen's plate. And it's like, no, you have to have a little outlet. You have to have a little Joe Mixon to lead the way. As you said, Ken, set that tone, hit somebody in the mouth, get Joe Mixon going. The Bills didn't do that with anybody. And man, the Bills just looked, they got outclassed. They got outclassed in their elements on their home field. It was surprising to me.
I'm saying that he is Superman, but you can't fight Darkseid every day. All right. Like, sometimes you need the Joker to come into your life to have an easy battle. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need just a villain that's always, it's not the world is going to be in a cataclysmic situation. And that's kind of, you can't do that. You have to make it simple sometimes for him. You can't, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. That's the thing we're saying. It's not, sure. This isn't a knock on Josh Allen, Alex. This is a knock on the Bills as far as wasting Josh Allen. That's what I'm talking about.
If Josh, I'm on board.
Let me take some heat. Let me take a little heat on this show. If we can have Josh Allen right now, I can take him. All right? Right now. So it's not a Josh Allen as much problem. Not to say still that he doesn't have issues with turnovers at times and trying to play hero ball. Yeah, right, like sometimes he doesn't know when to dial it back and not smash the asteroid. You could just push it away, Superman. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of the issue talking about as far as. But I'll say this too, as far as this game. And look, shout out to the offensive line coach and the offensive line of the Bengals. The weather gods gave them such a gift because even though the Bills can't rush anyway because Von Miller is gone. But like you just said, the traction defensively, especially when you're the lesser defense, you know what I'm saying? But it allowed the offensive line with three of their starters, when we're talking about the Bengals, it covered up some of those holes because the Bills couldn't get as much pressure because you can't get off in that inclement weather like that. So that, and also the Bengals just played it. Everything that you said as far as the speed aspect of the Bills, when you have a receiver like a Jamar Chase, who is smaller but can play in between better, where Diggs is more of a vertical guy at times, but you can do a lot of underneath stuff. And then you have T. Higgins, and then you have Joe Mixon, who's just a man. You know what I'm saying? It has another gear. And then this is the thing, too. Joe Burrow, and my family doesn't like it. I mean, they spent a lot of time with me watching football, and I know they're just like, what is he talking about? Joe Burrow, I got on Patrick Mahomes about this. Patrick Mahomes said it himself at the beginning of last year. A lot of times with mobile quarterbacks, the problem is they mess up the angles when it comes to the rush ends coming down because they always want to come out.
Yep.
And if you climb the pocket, they can't get to you as quickly. Joe Burrow is one of the best pockets, especially with a bad O-line. He was going and climbing that pocket so much. I was like, he can't do this all game. I'm like, they got to be able to get him sooner or later, right? He's going to go through two defenders and someone's going to smack him, right? And it was, right? And it's like, what? Yeah. Like, it's like, dude, look at him climb the pot. Like, how many, like, that's the thing. Like, he's just such a stud. And he was a guy even a couple years ago, and it's like, yo, someone's Brady-ish. It's him.
Yep.
And it's more, he has a better tool set than Brady actually has physically. And his swag is compared to, like, young Brady was corny as you know what.
But he's kind of, to me, he's like 07 Brady, like with Moss.
Mm-hmm.
when he had the swag with the pocket movement, and it was, I mean, just dealing.
When at, with the plug, the,
after the plug. With the thing, right. He had the thing going on.
But like, it's, dude, that that guy, that's a different type of dude right there.
Also, don't, I mean, don't, with the Bengals, don't discount the disrespect factor. Like, they, like, they were clearly, I mean, from everything, right? They felt like they shouldn't have had to play in Buffalo, right? They felt that should have been a neutral site game. They're already selling tickets for the AFC title game in Atlanta. Like, yeah, no, I mean, you got Joe Burrow after the game already saying, like, we already knew it come down to the two best quarterbacks. And he's like, I'm going to give myself my own shine. Like, I knew it was going to be me and Pat Mahomes. Like, the guy, I mean, the guy's, the swag is off the charts, man. If you go, I mean, swag is off the charts with Joe Burrow. He's wearing Seinfeld sweatpants to the game. Great.
He's certified. Dude. Certified dude, certified guy. All right. Is he one of your certified guys?
Oh God, yeah, absolutely. Oh, stamp it. Okay. Stamp. Well, sorry for me. He already is, especially if he body bags Mahomes again.
He's hurt in that game.
Don't care, man. You can go out there and do it.
Listen. Stop. Okay. Stop. All right.
I don't care. I'm six days away from putting Joe Burrow above Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. That's kind of where I was going. If the Bengals win that football game, the Chiefs are done as like the automatic favorite.
Has he won a Super Bowl?
He can't beat Joe Burrow. It doesn't matter.
He won an MVP? How many AFC championship games has he been to?
One. He's 1-0.
You have to add more.
If they do it back to back years.
Wait. You were away. See, this is like some Georgia Alabama mess. Dog, Patrick Mahomes, his resume right now speaks more volumes than Burrow's right now.
Sure.
So I'm just saying, now I'll give you this.
But I think what Alex and I are saying is if he beats him twice in a row, the Bengals are the new standard.
Yes.
No, let me finish. If they beat him this year, and then go out, and it's highly contested again next year, I'm with you. Then I'm going, because then we're talking about 3 years, and now, because Patrick Mahomes has been doing this for 5 years. I'm only saying it, I'm going off of, you can't just say, like, Golden State, and how many titles they have, and if Memphis beats them this year, and I know you guys were saying another year, too, from what happened last year, but then be like, man, and you know I love Ja, I'll be like, man,
don't
Ja.
Don't get me started. We don't need to talk about the Grizzlies.
Do you want to do that?
I don't want to talk about the lame Grizzlies. No one wants to talk about the lame Grizzlies on this TV show.
Where's your guy at?
Trying to fight a TV host. That's not what he's doing. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, he can't because he's always injured.
Hey, man, I don't know what to tell you. You don't want these problems.
All right, moving along. Final game, last game of last night. Oh, man. If you can read our text.
They did it again. It is who they are. They did it again.
Oops, I did it again. Cowboys to 49, versus the 49ers, lose 19-12. Listen, I'm going to lead off with this before we even get into the 49ers. And this kind of goes with what you said about the owner ligament with Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the thumb of Dak is right and will be right. I'm just gripping the ball wise because not to say I'm not a Dak guy. Let me lead off with that. I respect Dak as far as I drafted him the year he got hurt because I was like, he could score some points and I don't put my heart in it. Even if I don't like him, I want to win. So I drafted Dak that year, right? I'm a Dak guy like that. But personally, and not to say like the gentleman as far as his character, we can get into something else. Something else he said back in the days, I get. But fight the power. But still, it's Dak. I wonder if Dak's hand is an issue. I just want to say that.
Yeah.
Now, as far as me, if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm moving off his ass.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you right now, dude, with the window that defense, and I still blame Jerry because they need glue players. Listen, when it comes to numbers, they draft some freaks, all right? But you need glue guys in there too. Listen, that situation with Schultz where he didn't tap his foot, or the one where before that, where he didn't go forward out of bounds.
That was a that comes bad from the top.
That's when Mike McCarthy has no power because I can go talk to Jerry because he's always in the building. He has a radio show. No, I'll tell you one thing that's good about the Bears. There's a separation between the ownership and the players to a degree. I'm not saying that's always good, particularly between some players who may deserve having the ear occasionally of the owner, not all the time. But when the water boy can talk to the damn owner, basically, you take away the power of the coach and the fundamental things like toe tapping, fundamental things like not progressing forward to stop the clock and going out of bounds. That stuff happens more, and it happens to the Cowboys because Jerry meddles. Jerry knows some football, but he has to know what's better for them. And now that I'm still saying that was Dak that lost yesterday. That was Dak, but it's systematic. It comes from the top. Yeah, like I said, I would move off with Dak to 49. Listen, we've said it, and Josh, you said it when it comes to Brock Purdy. I'm done with the Brock Purdy slander. All right, I'm done with Cinderella Slipper ain't coming off this year. I don't think so. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm done. Shannon God's doing his dizzle. Look, I'm not even gonna hate on Mr. Irrelevant right now. I think that something bad's gonna happen because
he's Mr. Irrelevant now. He's not scared. That guy's not scared at all. He's spinning.
Go ahead, Josh. Go ahead.
Let's just start with the Cowboys. I think Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott are above average at what they do, and that's not gonna be good enough. Both of them. And from both standpoints, they only gave up 19 points. Like, Micah Parsons is putting Mike McGlinchey, as Ken put in our thread, parallel to the planet. Like, just like their defense is so good. I mean, I'm not sold on Trevon Diggs, but that pass rush is incredible. You cannot only, they gave Zeke all that money. That's Jerry being Jerry. That's another thing. I think I'm with you, Ken. I would Dak Prescott. Like, honestly, we haven't talked about it, but if the Packers are trying to trade Aaron Rodgers, if you're the Cowboys, man, it's like, hey, you know, we'll take him. We'll fire McCarthy. We'll go get Sean Payton, and we'll go about our day. Because CeeDee Lamb. They have so much talent. We talked about when they beat the Bears. It's just like they hit on all these top draft picks. And you're right. Like, they kind of miss in the middle rounds a little bit and in free agency, but elite talent, man. They are just boom, 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 boom. Almost a pure hit rate. 49ers, they are so good. They're so good. And even Kyle Shanahan couldn't mess it up. He tried with the clock management. He tried to do his thing where, we waste 40 seconds here. We're going to get booed. It doesn't matter, man. They are so freaking talented. George Kittle is, George Kittle is unreal. Brock Purdy, they already said Mike Silver, who's connected NFL insider, already said it's been decided Brock Purdy's going to start for them next year. Brock Purdy does, he's not scared, man. He doesn't look like a seventh round pick. It's incredible. He had a couple throws where I was like, oh, here it comes. He's turned into a pumpkin. And then the next throw was like dime.
Yeah. Moving to the left.
Yeah,
throwing to across left. His body.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's just. I mean, maybe the Eagles make him turn to a pumpkin, but man, I've been so impressed, man. He's just.
Even if he does, even
yeah, it doesn't matter. Point. He's eight. Yeah. 0, and he's done everything Kyle Shanahan has asked him to do.
Here's my thing with the clock.
What
we this always like, we like clock resetting around. You reset that. You reset because you got a QB. You don't know what he can do. He's got two. He already has 2 years off his contract as far as Trey Lance. Now you got a guy that's a rookie making the Mr. Relevant money.
Making nothing.
Here's my thing with Brock Purdy, though. I'm with you. It's incredibly impressive what he's done. But you alluded to those throws where you're just like, yikes, that's not a good throw. I don't know if that's not a good throw because he's a rookie working through his rookie year, which is totally reasonable. And all rookie quarterbacks do that. Or I don't know if he's doing that because he is Mr. Irrelevant, because he was that last pick in the draft. Like, which one is it? Where I still have a little hesitation. What he's done is incredible. Like, to come in and do this is incredible. But there are those throws that make me just go, yikes. Mm-hmm. And we'll see. We'll see if that's something he grows out of or if that's just who he is. Too early to tell. I don't know. But yeah, the 49ers are incredible. The thing with the Cowboys is I'm kind of with you with that Aaron Rodgers thing, because they're built to win now. This was a game the Cowboys needed to win. If the Cowboys were like a seriously competitive football team,
Cowboys should have and needed to win that football game because, as you said, the defense played incredibly.
They've been deeply unserious for 30 years. Deeply unserious.
For real. Yep. Right? I mean, they did their job. They held the Niners to under 20 points. That offense needs to be able to score 20 points. And the fact that they weren't able to score 20 points is just like, yo, they have to do some serious, serious soul searching because they do. They have all the talent in the world. The defense is so good. And sooner or later, they just need to win the games when they matter. And they just haven't for so long. Mm-hmm. They just haven't for so long.
Purdy, 19 of 29, 214 yards, QB rating of 82. Speaking of Dak Prescott was 23 of 37, 206 yards, one TD, two interceptions that were They weren't good.
We got to talk about that last play of the game, too. We have to talk about the last play of the game. When Zeke lines up under center and it's like, hold up, I can't wait to see what this is. And then it was actually the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you knew it was doomed. When Zeke was under center, you knew it was doomed. But I just like want to know what was supposed to happen there. What did they think was going to happen?
That's a good one.
It's supposed to be the outlet, and then they're tossing back.
It's supposed to be a pitch back to behind the two offensive linemen. I don't think it's
Zeke. Yeah, no.
Why are you having Zeke center?
It's misdirection. I Ken and I talked. I think it's supposed to be Pollard, but he broke his leg, so I don't think.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Pollard, but
yeah.
What Josh said, it's supposed to be you're trying to get the offensive line, get behind the guys, the offensive lineman on the outside to hope that they, because now you have their guys spread wide, can get some open, and then we're pitching back and we're doing flipping.
The old pitchy. I think my favorite part about that whole play is they line up to do it. And the 49ers like, all right, call timeout. And it gave Mike McCarthy an out. They're like, hey, you don't have to do it. Mike McCarthy was like, oh, no. We like it so much. We're going to do it.
Play.
God, what are you doing, man?
I thought this, too. And in speaking of their defense, it was at one point, the Cowboys defense, realized that it was a wrap. Mm-hmm. And they stopped sticking their nose in there on that run. I'm not dissing them either.
They were like,
dude, I'm not sticking my nose in there anymore.
Yeah,
I'm tired. The offense is messing up. I'm tired. I'm not. That's the thing about power, right? Like if you play sports, and I mean this from both sides. If you ever dominate somebody or been dominated, and it's just where you be like, I'm out. I'm done.
I don't need to do it anymore.
And that's what happened because. Man, listen, this weekend, I really don't even care about the scores as much as the Kraken, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm always concerned about these gentlemen's lives now and after football, but this was some old school football because they were out there. Pads were hitting pads. Unfortunately, helmets were hitting helmets. I'm not saying that that's a good thing either. But, man, this game, both teams at times was coming together with the defense and how they was hitting it. Then the 49ers – offense and just how they just put their will on you physically. Man, it's something. And for me to grow up a Mike Shanahan fan from Denver, Mike Shanahan, who running the ball was all – he can get a guy that works at Arby's and he can run 1,000 yards.
Grab Tatum Bell out of the Nokia store and was like, hey, you want 2,000 yards?
Let's go. 1,000 yards for you. 1,000 yards for you. It's like, Oprah, you get 1,000 yards. You get 1,000 yards. And now looking at how his son has progressed in this new NFL, and it's not that he is not offensively minded to where they can't put it in the air, but how he uses what he has in the cupboard to make souffles and great meals. It's like, dude, what are you having? I got some salt, some baking soda, a little bit of flour, and he comes back, and it's like, dude, how did you make this wonderful souffle? Like, it's like he makes the best out of what he has, regardless of what he has. You know what I'm saying?
And when you get Christian McCaffrey at the trade deadline, it does help a lot.
Yeah, I mean, when they go to that two back set with Juszczyk, I mean, they can do anything, right? They got Debo in the backfield, they got McCaffrey out wide. You got a team playing base because Juszczyk's in there, and they think they're like, hey, they might run the ball. They can do anything, man. You've never seen versatility like that. I mean, that's just unfair, and they don't even have to scheme that much because the scheme is like, hey, let's just get someone the ball in space, and they'll just
be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a lot of good football players. Let's let them be good football players.
It's a great, great roster building strategy. You should get better football players.
Yeah. Also, it's the commitment to where, like, because, like you're saying, get them in space, but it's also the guy that's blocking ahead of you.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times you don't have that receiver.
Well, what'd they do? They spend all that money on Trent Williams.
Right. And it's dude, it's the guys like that. Like, that's the things like, whoa, man, this is some football. But yeah, I know some blowouts, but especially if you're not rooting for those teams, those blowouts are beautiful. But it was a great weekend of football. I hope everyone enjoyed it. And hopefully our team will be there in the near future, referring to the Chicago Bears. Anything else as far as the Cowboys 49ers you guys want to say before we get up out of here?
Nah, man, I'm excited for 49ers Eagles.
Yeah, that's gonna be
a lot of hits.
Finally, the NFC playoff.
We made it. Hey guys, we did it.
Real quick, we got Bears news. All right, Bears are making moves, guys. So for anybody that doesn't know, what have the Bears been up to?
Go on, they signed Alex. Joe Reed to a future reserves contract. Joe Reed spent the last 3 years at the San Diego Chargers, played in less than one season's worth of games. The last 2 years, he was on the practice squad. Welcome to the Chicago Bears, Joe Reed. I think he took some kickoffs that year. I think he was a special teams player. So if you like watching gunners, if you like watching kickoff returners, we got your guy.
Yes, finally. All right, Tony, what do we got from Points Bet, man? What's the Points Bet question before we get on about it?
What's up, guys? Great conversation so far. So as you guys know, we are covering this Super Bowl run sponsored by Points Bet. So we're going to keep it simple. With only four teams left, we're just going to get your analysis over the conference championship game. So in the NFC, the Niners are taking the Philadelphia Eagles. The Niners are 2.5-point underdogs to the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's start with that matchup. What do you guys predict in that one?
Niners, money line. Give me the Niners. Give me the Niners.
Totally. I'll take the Niners money line too. I've been riding with the Niners for quite some time. The Eagles looked fantastic against, like I said, a fraudulent New York Giants team that shouldn't have been a playoff team. And that Niners defense is no joke.
Yep.
Give me the Niners.
I always get worried about the team that looked too good the week before. Jalen Hurts, not sure he's the runner that they need him to beat the 49ers. Give me Brock Purdy. We're one step closer to the docuseries. Let's go.
the 30 for 30. I don't think that 30 for 30 is going to happen about this year for the 49ers. Ooh. I'm taking the Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles. That Brock Purdy, listen. That Eagles front four, man.
60 sacks from the front four.
Dude, that Eagles
front 60 four. 60 sacks from the front four.
It's not a knock on Brock Purdy. This is where it gets real. You know what I'm saying?
Mike McGlinchey better be icing up after Micah Parsons
put on the planet. Oh boy, we were so wrong about Mike McGlinchey, I'm out on Mike McGlinchey. We botched that on Football Night Chicago. I was watching that too, Josh, like, whoa.
I was like,
we took him over Trey Edmonds. No. I know we need offensive linemen, but not him. look, I'm going with the Eagles, and it's really because of the amount of money they spent and also Jalen Hurts, but they paid for it and they spent their money wisely, even though you have situations where you have Robert Quinn who got hurt. But for the most part, the things that they wanted to do with the chance they have with the quarterback on his rookie contract, it seems like it's coming to fruition. And I'm just going to go with them because I think right now, offensively, they can put up more points than the 49ers can put up at this iteration. And Brock Purdy only having 8 games in a year. See me next year with him having an offseason, him being with Kyle Shanahan, getting the reps. We have to remember, it's not like he got reps. You know what I'm saying?
No, he wasn't getting any reps. He won't get any
right, that's what I'm saying. People don't think like that. Like he this guy wasn't like the backup, and no, he wasn't getting rep. It wasn't a thought like that. So I'm seeing that to see what he will become. And again, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think this is where, you know, I said this a long time ago with a friend of mine in Ben Roethlisberger's rookie year, and he was like, "I think the Steelers can go to the Super Bowl." And I was like, "He's still a rookie," and also remember, Ben didn't start off that year. Maddox started off that year, and they put Ben in. So it's kind of the same situation where I don't think he's ready for that. It wouldn't surprise me though, but I don't think he's ready. And I think the Eagles get what they spent their money for in this offseason, and they're going to make it to the Super Bowl. So that's what I'm going to go with too.
Yeah, the only thing that would worry me is just the 49ers secondary. That's the weak part of the defense.
Yeah, that's the
Traverse Ward. Trevor Ward is fine. Diamador, Lenore, go Ducks. But I mean, AJ Brown, Devon Smith. Yeah. That's where you can attack him. So that could be.
That's the thing. Bigger. Yeah. And Goeder. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Well, they got Fred Warner. That's a neutralizer.
Purdy did play a little bit though, because there's that whole Jimmy Garoppolo thing where Jimmy Garoppolo didn't even have the freaking playbook, right? Brock Purdy was playing in the preseason game, so it's not like he was thrown in there.
Yeah.
We're talking about real reps, like, yo, this, you may have to get out here type of reps is kind of
not like doing walkthroughs with the third stringers.
Right. Yes. Yeah. But also, listen, how Warner got back on CD Lamb like that,
just ran the route with him. I know he's a freak. He's an alien, dude.
That's crazy. No,
that's what Ryan Poles wants to spend the money on. Not Roquan.
I know, like spend exactly
that guy. Yeah, I mean, like that guy.
It wasn't a situation where he was almost there, and he was with him.
He was with him, running with him.
Yeah,
crazy.
Right. So
guys, incredible.
Let's save the AFC analysis for our next podcast on the second episode, because that was really good. I think we can end that one right there. Thanks a lot for PointsBet for providing these lines, Ken.
It's time to get your swagger back with PointsBet Sportsbook. PointsBet, your move. And that is it for the Under Center podcast. We're going to have Jason Leisure from the Sun Times join us for this week's episode on NBC Sports. You can always check it out at 5:30 p.m. and also at reruns on the station. So we're going to give you some Bears talk. We're going to find out Jason's thoughts on what the Bears should do, his thoughts on the season, and his thoughts on his playoffs and what some of these other teams are doing now and perhaps what they should do in their future. That's it for all of us. You can watch this entire episode on YouTube. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and we always appreciate it.